And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, I am pleased to welcome to the Right Side Studios the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. That's the whole Republican Party across the state of Alabama. John Wall, how you doing, man?
Oh, good, and it's good to be in studio.
I mean, you're here. You're actually here.
I know. I'm actually looking at people in their face. It's a little scary.
Now we can yell at you better. No, friendly source here. You and I are both going to the Etowah County Republican dinner tonight, so that should be good doings.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening. I was the party chair here for a number of years, and this is called the Reagan-Martin Dinner. I guess you're familiar with that, but it's named for, of course, Ronald Reagan and our local, now deceased, former Congressman Jim Martin, who served the state for so many years.
Yeah.
But yeah, Reagan-Martin dinner tonight.
Well, two great patriots. I love to bring up Reagan in my speeches, you know, going back to some of his talking points, because I feel like we're in this battle as a society, and it's the same battle he had, just a different front. You know, he was fighting socialism and communism from without. And we're fighting socialism and communists from within.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, well said. Speaking of which, I want to just break down some stuff with you. I've got you for an extended opportunity here, man.
That's right. So we get to drill into stuff.
Drill down. Anyway, thank you, though, for coming to the studio. So the first story I wanted to bring to your attention, and maybe you've seen it already, but the mayor of Dallas is a Democrat, and he's a minority. He's a black guy who made a lot of headlines. The story I've got here is on Daily Wire, came out yesterday, but he made a lot of headlines last week when he switched to the Republican Party. Mm. But he's been very vocal. His basis for doing so is he said he's tired of watching Democrat parties running the metropolitan areas of America into the ground. It's unreal.
Well, and it's true, right? Like, look across the country, the big cities. And ironically, one of the larger cities that is not Democrat-controlled is actually Miami, with Mayor Suarez down there. And just what a great job he's done.
Yeah.
Like cleaning up crime. And we saw that reflected in election results. You know, Republicans fared far better in that Miami area because of that leadership. I think it's a valuable discussion he's brought to the table here. It really kind of highlights what we're dealing with as a country. Bad policies, and in this case, the Democrats' bad policies, have real world consequences for the citizens of the other city. Increased crime, inflation, just poor management, poor infrastructure, roads. You know, it goes down to every area of life. People forget that. You know, this is not the grand big policies you think about on the national level. It's the idea that people don't have to work. Like it goes into every facet.
Yeah, defund the police.
Yes, yes. It's across the board. It goes into every aspect of your life, these poor policies. And I'm super proud of the mayor of Dallas for waking up seeing this. And I think it's a shift that's important across the board, too, and that I see happening with minorities. I think Republicans are going to do better and better with minorities over the future, especially in the rural areas of the country.
Yeah, and I want to dive into that here in a minute, too. But before we do that, I think it's interesting that not only, though, did he decide that the policies weren't working, he flat out switched parties, which that's the part that – I mean, he could just as easily have said – defund the police does not work. Or he could have said, you know, don't talk to me about sanctuary cities. But he didn't. He just came out and said, I can no longer be aligned with the Democrat Party.
Well, and great point, too. Yes, he could have said, let's reform the Democrat Party. But he recognized that the fundamental flaw was not with the party. It's with the policies and the platform that the party represents. You know, I talk about this all the time with the Republican Party. The Republican Party is not special because of our name. Yeah, it's special because of the values we represent, and it's only good as long as we stand for those values that represent America and what America was founded on.
Yeah.
You know, those ideas of limited government, of freedom, of people actually running their lives instead of government. It's hard to believe we even have to have that conversation, but that's what's coming into the world. Should parents actually have a role in their children? No, they're radical. They're terrorists because they actually want to have a voice in their children's education.
Yeah,
like the left has gone that far. So I think that's the thing. It's going back to these fundamental principles, and he realized you cannot reform the Democrat Party because it is based on principles that are not reformable.
Well, this study came out, by the way, this is 2 years old. It's November of 21, which is like back when you took control of the party.
Yeah, not long after I became chairman, yeah.
But there was an analysis done of what they called the 15 deadliest cities in America, and they found out that 11 of them were run by Democrats.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. I mean, you're looking at cities like St. Louis, Baltimore, New Orleans, Detroit, Cleveland. These are beautiful cities. I mean, I was in Detroit most recently. I've got family there. So we were up there, and I was struck by, this is really a beautiful, I mean, I always pictured like Detroit, urban blight. And I got up there, I thought, this is a beautiful city, but they're running it into the ground.
No, that's right. I mean, it's got beautiful riverfront.
Yes. You know,
the lakefront, like so much going for Detroit. And just it literally has been run into the ground. And Cleveland is not far behind there. Like Cleveland, yeah. There's no reason. Cleveland has a great, great population base. They're on the water. It's really sad to see what these bad policies do to people's lives.
Look at New Orleans. I mean, and that's right down here close to home. Well, I look at this and I think, okay, the machinations of what is going on with the Republican Party are being, if you have Democrats want to switch and join, then you've got something going on. And I don't think in his case, I mean, I don't think he was unelectable as a Democrat.
No, correct. It was not for political expediency. It was because of a fundamental realization of the facts and what was going on. And that is what we need. We need those people waking up.
In fact, he might have a harder time getting reelected as a Republican.
Chance of it in a city the size of Dallas, right?
Yeah. Well, he points out himself, though, kind of in a segue to what we just talked about. He says, what I've seen across the country, I often think the Democrats primarily, what I'm talking about is, he said, they control most of the major cities. 75 of the top 100 cities are run by Democrats, and the problem is Democrats are not willing to say that violent crime is a problem in their city, and that's something that I can't work with. Anyway, he says he dug in pretty firmly, and he went ahead and switched parties too. So,
yeah. Well, I love it. He, like I said, it sounds like he's got the understanding of the policies that are destroying people's lives.
Yeah,
and he wants to actually be a good, good representative and good leader for his citizens. I think
it's
amazing.
We've only got about a minute, Boom? We got about a minute before we go to the next break, all right? When we come back from that break, I wanna come right off of that conversation with the mayor of Dallas, who is a black man, and talk about black support for the GOP itself and what the Alabama Republican Party is doing to try and sort of woo, if you will, minority voters to recognize that our values line up with theirs more than the Democrats do. You good with that?
I love that conversation.
All right.
Because it's the truth.
It is the truth. All right. We're in studio right now with John Wall. He's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and he's been in for a pretty amazing time. I mean, wow. He took office after the 2020 election, and he's been riding this thing forward ever since. But Alabama has been a decidedly red state. And it's leadership from the state party that has helped with the get out the vote efforts. And I can speak to it personally, having been involved with the party myself for years, having been an elected Republican official. I can just tell you, the party, if you have strong leadership of the party, you can get some things done. If you have weak leadership, it can hurt. All right, listen, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, in studio with John Wall, Chairman, ALGOP. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here, Alabama. And I mean to say, y'all, this show sends its signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go back to the conversation, let me tell you, too, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of major ground, and that's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics owned by a right side ruffian, by the way, chain of clinics that covers a whole swath of our listening area from places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. I think the two newest ones are Chelsea, Hoover. Listen, Southern Immediate Care, this is who I use personally, and I've used them a lot longer than they've been advertising. In fact, they're advertising because I actually said one day, hey, I love what y'all do. Would you consider? And sure enough, they are. But Southern Immediate Care opens 7 days a week in all their locations, and they'll see all ages. I'm talking pediatric to geriatric. They'll see them all. And they are so, every time I've walked in the door, y'all, I mean, they're so professional. They're so friendly. Everything's so clean. And you can get your shots. You can get your x-rays, all of it right there on the spot. So you wake up on a Saturday morning, the kids have a fever. What do you do? Wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care. Find the location nearest to you. Head on in and tell them, by the way, you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right, we're back right now in studio with John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. You've been chairman now since 2021, right?
February of 2021, so two and a half years.
Are you counting the days?
Hey, look, I have actually gone over the average lifespan of a chairman. So I made it to that mark. So I was like, when I hit that, I was like, okay, if something happens and I just get worn out completely, I leave. At least I've gone over average.
Well, you've had some big doings. I mean, there's been victories. We've had the redistricting fights ongoing. We've had Trump has been in the state. You had that major rally in Coleman. I think the picture that we use of you a lot of times when you're not on the air is a picture of you speaking on the stage in Coleman.
Oh, and that was a great event. I mean, largest political event in Alabama history. So
yes. Then you had DeSantis for the GOP dinner in Montgomery. Was it Montgomery we were in? Yeah. I mean, this has not been small fry whatsoever.
No. Well, and I think it's important. Like the state of Alabama. One of my priorities is what you were just talking about. This is our home, right? This is our state. And I think I love to highlight how great Alabama is because a lot of the country doesn't realize it.
Yeah.
But the people, the communities, our scenery, like it's such a wonderful state and we deserve to be up there a little bit more recognized for what we offer.
I would agree with that completely. And I think a lot of times on the national scene, especially in the Electoral College, the primaries are over. People think it's a given Alabama's going to be red. You know, no need to campaign hard there. I'll spend my time in a swing state, but I don't want people to forget that we're here, and I think that's the important piece.
No, that's exactly right. And I want to, you know, I'm take a little bit of a dig down at Florida and Ron DeSantis in a positive way. I'm tired of Florida being in front of his policy too. Like I want to see Alabama lead. Like why shouldn't we be out there in front, coming up with these conservative ideas?
Yeah, or at the very least, let's quit trying to follow them. Let's lead them for once.
Exactly.
And we do every once in a while we do. And I'm like yes, but for the most part, I feel like some of the major legislation that I see on the conservative side starts elsewhere, mm-hmm. and then later on we grab hold.
No, that's right. I don't want to stop hearing what have other states done, and instead say let's lead and have other states follow us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, speaking of leading, so one of the things that's happening nationwide, I've got a couple of pieces here, one from the AP and one from the Washington Post. Phil, did you go to the Washington Post?
I'm a little surprised that I may be in the wrong studio if they're quoting the WAPO. That's not good.
Luckily, this was an opinion piece that did not offend my sensibilities, but it was, here's the title of it. More people of color are voting Republican. And that's not all bad news, it says. So, in other words,
I agree with the title.
It was a little pragmatic, but it's like
I agree. It's not a horrible thing. Like, I appreciate they recognize the fact that they have painted this narrative that minorities should not be voting as Republican, right?
I think one of the things that galls me is when you see this sense from the Democrats that they just own the black vote. It's just theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like President Biden, if you ain't voting for me, you ain't black. Well. What? Who says that kind of thing?
Well, and who gave him the right to speak on behalf of millions of black voters across the country?
It's
right?
insulting.
Yes, it is. It really is. And I think that's a narrative that needs to be challenged. And it's a stereotype that the press has created. And I think it's important to highlight that this is a modern stereotype.
Yeah.
This is not traditional. This is not, you know, if you go back, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, it was different. You know, it was the Republican Party and it was Republicans who stood with black voters during the Civil Rights Movement. You know, you can go all the way back to Lincoln. You know, this is an issue where Republicans have been the party who stood for individual liberty, for minority rights, and for civil, you know, the civil rights movement as a whole, because we recognize that people are made in the image of God. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is. There are not different races. There's only one, the human race. And we recognize that. And we recognize that all men are created are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
You guys at the state party, is there an effort, an organized effort, like an agenda item to reach out for more minority Republican voters?
And you know there absolutely is. We have a minority GOP that does work nonstop in that area, and then also an outreach committee, you know, to younger voters, to African American voters or Hispanics across the board, and have had amazing success with that. You know, last election cycle, even though it was a very poor election cycle across the country for Republicans in Alabama, we picked up 50 seats across the state.
Yeah,
in an already very red Alabama, where it's hard to find places where we haven't won.
Yeah,
and most of those were in rural and minority areas. And it was with a simple message that, you know, what if school board, it was about school choice. Maybe it was a sheriff's race. We picked up 7 sheriff's races across the state.
Wow.
With a message of actually protecting our communities and then defending people's Second Amendment rights. And the black community responded to that.
Well, the AP reported at the end of last year that black support for GOP had ticked up during the midterms. It says that Republican candidates were backed by 14% of black voters, which is compared to 8% in the previous midterm. All right, so now, granted, I would say that the majority of black voters still tend to vote Democrat.
Oh, for sure.
And that's being real. But the truth is, it's not a lock, and it's also trending. And that's the trending is what we were looking at.
The trend is important because numbers and society always work that way. If you start with 8, then you go to 14. Well, 2 years from now, if you increase that same amount, that 18 goes up to the low 20s, and then you're going to hit 30. And pretty soon, you take these areas that have traditionally been Democrat, and you have enough black voters who because that movement increases. It's exponential because sooner or later you're going to start having, you know, black civic leaders who are like, you know what? I don't have to be quiet about this anymore. I can admit that I'm a Republican.
That's right.
I can talk about that and I can explain why those values represent it. And it will increase exponentially.
There's a gentleman, and I won't say, you know, names because we didn't talk about him coming on my show like this, but he is what I would consider to be an influential leader of the black community in Jefferson mm-hmm. County who just basically can't stand the way the Democrats do business. Yeah. And I say he's an influential man. Well, so let me ask you this, though. Segue that conversation into the brand spanking new 2nd Congressional District. The court decided it was going to tell us where the district lines would be, and we have it. And it drew out Barry Moore, who was District mm-hmm. 2, and we'll talk about him in a minute. But it drew out Barry Moore, and now we have what some would consider to be an open seat. It's like a ain't nobody there right now kind of seat. And they drew it as a... It's not truly a majority per se. It's a barely a majority black district. But I would suspect that we're going to wind up seeing some Republicans running for that seat. And I don't know that the Democrats are going to have a lock on it.
You know, and they shouldn't. And I think this is one of the questions, you know, goes kind of segues straight from talking about, you know, black voters being upset with the Democrat Party. Maybe they don't support the policies coming out of the National Democrat Party. You know, the party did polling last year that showed the number one issue within the margin of error, the number one issue for black voters in Alabama was protecting children from woke policies.
Wow.
Now think about that for a minute.
Really?
Yes. And that really highlighted to me the fact that they don't agree with these policies that are coming out of the Biden administration.
So you're saying they're right side ruffians.
I'm saying that's right. That's right. They are there. Like they understand what's going on and they don't want their children being taught transgenderism in school.
Yeah.
You know, these are communities that are based around faith. You know, they're a lot of times are based around their local churches. And I think that's why we could see serious movement. And I think that's going to be a key part of the 2nd Congressional District. If Republicans have a chance there, and let me not sugarcoat this. You know, the federal court wanted to talk about creating an opportunity district. They did not create an opportunity district. They created a straight-up lean Democrat district
yep.
intentionally to try to make sure that yep. the Democrats got power of the U.S. House, period. And they can argue with that. They can say whatever they want. But they start talking not about minorities, not about minority candidates. Their chosen verbiage is, can elect a candidate of that a minority would choose. That's like code word for Democrat. Like yeah. they literally created a Democrat district and used the power of the court system to do it, which is a becoming more and more of a playbook out of the Democrats, you know, play out of the Democrats playbook.
But y'all are looking at being competitive nonetheless.
I think we have to, you know, because I'm not going to just stand by and let them dictate to the state, you're going to lose the congressional district, and let them play in politics without at least fighting back.
Yeah.
And I think we, even if we lose, we're gonna fight for it, and we're gonna build for the future. So that's how I look at it. We may not win, but if not, we're gonna fight. We're gonna get as many yards down the field as we can.
Yeah.
And if we don't get across the touchdown this time, we will at some point, because this is changing.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break right now again. We're in a conversation right now with John Wall. He's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. But John, when we get back from this, I want to go from that down to the new District 1, because we had an announcement today from Congressman Barry Moore, and let's talk about what that imports for our congressional politics, all right?
I love it.
All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys, who else has a ton of common sense is our friend at ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions, been with us since the very beginning, but ZLA Solutions is like epic good at helping you make your business better. That's their goal in life. They even make that their motto. They say they don't make it, they just make it better. They come in and they can help you with all kinds of business solutions like logistics and warehousing and whatever else. But the bottom line is their bread and butter still remains staffing. So if you need people, I mean, they can find them. The one or two you need or a whole shift of people doesn't matter. And they do it for all kinds of different industries and service groups or whatever else. Lots of big name employers all across our listening area and beyond using ZLA Solutions. And I mean, they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar or no collar. It doesn't matter at all. They can help you. So if you need help, check them out. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, John Wall, we got a situation. So when has this happened in a while? But since the court redrew the congressional lines, we now have my former colleague in the legislature, state legislature, Barry Moore, who's been the congressman for District 2, and Jerry Carl, the congressman for District 1, Jerry Carl being out of Mobile and Barry being out of Coffee County, the Wiregrass area. All of a sudden, they're drawn into the same district, and Barry Moore just announced it. Story here on 1819 News. He is not going to run for District 2, which some people wondered he might cross over the line. He's going to run for his home counties, and he says he's going to challenge Jerry Carl. He says he's the true conservative. What say you, chairman of the state party, who's got a conundrum on his hands?
Well, I mean, first thing is, this is exactly what happens when a federal court oversteps their bounds and redraws lines that constitutionally should have been drawn by the state legislature.
Yeah.
Because they did not do a good job of taking into account communities of interest. You know, the Wiregrass is so different than the coastal areas of Mobile and Baldwin. And to lump those into the same district, it really highlights the problem with the new districts. And I really hope this gets a chance to be actually fully adjudicated and go before the Supreme Court with the actual merits of the districts. But, you know, back to the political side, anytime you have the Republican Party member on member, that's unfortunate. You know, yeah. It's a very rare situation, too. I mean, how often do you get redistricting and it draws two incumbents into the same district? So, I mean, it's a clash of the titans. I mean, if you're watching this political cycle, this is probably the race to watch in Alabama this year. Two conservatives, both fairly new, but both very popular in their areas. And I think a lot of this is going to come down to, you know, the people of that first congressional district. Which of these candidates can one, identify with the values of those people? You know, are they looking for a Freedom Caucus member? You know, are they looking for this or that? You know, who, what are the values of the candidates, and who can communicate that message with the voters?
Yeah, and I look at it, and so here's some dynamics that I know you know, but I'll say them for the benefit of our listeners. So a big chunk of what Barry Moore is going to be running in was actually his old district. It's just now part of District 1. He also apparently won Baldwin County last time. I believe he did, didn't he? I'll take it back. Jerry Carl didn't win Baldwin County. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
When he ran against Hightower. Yep. Yeah. And Jerry Carl just had his home base, which is Mobile, cut in half by the new district line. So a big chunk of Mobile County went away. And it might not have been the best part of it for him, but it's still a swath of voters that he loses. I think Jerry Carl's going to have a little bit of an uphill climb. The other interesting dynamic is, you know, Club for Growth got very active in both those races when they were separate. Mm-hmm. And Club for Growth really supported Barry Moore and really didn't support Jerry Carl. And there's very few groups that get involved in primaries. And I can't help but wonder, is Club for Growth going to step in with money in the primary for conservative Barry Moore? I don't know. We'll wait and see, I guess.
I mean, you know, and a lot of this does come down to the, you know, what outside groups get involved. Because in a race like this, where both candidates are fairly high, you know, have fairly high name ID, but there's large sections of their districts where they're not known.
Yeah.
You know, money plays a big role, and it's a short campaign season. So, yeah. You know, I'm sure they're both looking at getting on the air as soon as possible, and especially after the first of the year, it's going to be nonstop. They got 2 months to lay out their case. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Which is the other thing. This is actually a very short primary season for the congressional district because no one knew what the districts were going to look like.
That's right.
Like, for instance, I live in Mike Rogers' 3rd congressional district for the first time ever. I've always been in Adderholt's 4th congressional. Mm-hmm. And so there are people right now that didn't even know if they could run for District 2. They're just realizing they can because Barry Moore is not going to run. And so it's going to open things up.
Well, I think you see that. Like, no one has actually declared for District 2 because
yeah.
A lot of them were waiting to see, what does Barry Moore do? Does he run into, or does he, even though he now lives in District 1, and, you know, he made this decision. He wants to run where he lives. I completely respect that. Like, I know that was not an easy decision for him to be districted out of his old district. But a good point that half of this new District 1 or 40% of it is actually his district.
And qualifying closes in, like, what, 12 days?
November 10th.
Yeah. So there are people right now just going, wait, Barry's not running?
That's right.
Okay, well, what are we doing? We got 2 weeks to figure it out. Yeah. Less than 2 weeks. Holy crap. Yeah. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. And I know that you, as a party chair, have relationships with all of them, and you have to wind up maintaining your neutrality because the chairmanship the party itself doesn't get involved in primaries. But you're still the guy sitting in the seat that's going to watch it all happen, and it's your party's going to be at war with each other for a little while.
Oh, well, that's right. Well, and my role, you know, I always say in the dictionary, what it should have is chairman, and then right under it should be peacemaker in chief. Because I end up doing so much of that, you know, talking with people and just say, hey, look, this is, you know, it's almost like a referee in a sporting event.
So you're the secretary of state for the parties.
That's
at this
right.
Point.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Well, John Wall, it's been a pleasure having you here in studio for the first time. You've been a guest to the show many, many times, but actually here with us today. And thank you for being in Etowah County. Thank you for being at the Right Side Studios.
Well, no, always a pleasure to be on the show. I love the show. The Rough Side, Ruffian myself, and defending liberty and freedom. So always good to be on the show.
Outstanding. We'll make sure you have a T-shirt before you leave.
I like it.
All right. Listen, what a great show. It's been a full one. I mean, we had plenty of stuff there. Slouching toward Kristallnacht, living free or dying. I mean, that's the Second Amendment. And then GOP machinations, Dipper number 3, with John Wall currently in studio. And then there was also the fact that we had a triple dipper, not only that, but a monologue. And then, by the way, I didn't even get to all of the text messages that came in. That's because you guys are an amazing audience. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2. We will see you then.